2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Since then we know what it's like to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. And what we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we're giving you an opportunity to take pride in us. Move down to verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Woo! Amen. Look at verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. You know, what we have in Christ is not something that the whole idea is that we just keep it for ourselves. It is something that we are not given just enough for ourselves. We are given an abundance. We are given an abundance. Let me give you a little illustration. This is a terrible illustration, but it's going to work. If I go to Donut King and I pick out a nice donut and I buy it, they're going to give me my donut. Me gets one donut, and that donut is for me. That's not what it's like when we meet Christ, because it's like we come to him, and the way he blesses us is not by giving us a donut. He gives us a platter rounded over with donuts. There is so much there. It is such an overwhelming blessing, and obviously it is something that needs to be shared. And there's something about what he does in us that compels us, that we recognize that we've been given something so dear that it needs to be shared, and that the way that we've benefited, other people can benefit. And if you have a shred of love within you, you just can't help but think, I want you to be able to experience what I have experienced. And I want you to be a part of what I have become a part of and I have found so meaningful. So his love compels us. His love drives us. This platter overflowing with wonderfulness is obviously something that can benefit not just us. And that's a good thing. It says, because we are convinced that one died for all. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for all of our sins. And he didn't die just for our sins. He died for everyone's sins. And there are people right now that are doing very naughty things or living far away from God. He died for their sins too. And it's not just for naughty people. It's for all people. You know, some of the hardest people to minister to are the people that are very good people. I was witnessing to a friend of mine at the pool the other day. And she has a couple teenage daughters. And she said, Doug, you got to tell me what to do. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, my teenage daughters... She goes, I realize one of the most important things for them is for them to find a good guy to marry. And that's going to affect their whole life. And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, I want to find someone who's going to love her and he's going to work and provide and is going to be faithful and is going to be a good father and have a home where people, and she started talking about all these values and stuff. And she goes, but where do you find, do guys exist like that anymore? And I waited. And I had an answer. I said, yeah. She goes, well, where? I go, they're at church. She goes, but we're not, she looked at me, she goes, I'm not like a church person. I don't know if I believe everything they believe. And I said, you know, our beliefs and our lifestyles, they go together. Our lifestyle grows out of our belief. And when you see people living a very different lifestyle, the lifestyle you don't like, that is a reflection of their beliefs. And I said, the type of guy you're describing is a God-fearing guy. And they're out there. And guess what? They're not going out with those girls. They're waiting and praying for God to bring along their path a young lady who wants a life like that. They're waiting for them. So, when are you going to come to church? She goes, I don't know, Doug. He goes, we're not church people. I left it like that. Hold on. For Christ's love compels us, and we are convinced that one died for all. Therefore, all died, and he died for all. Oh, I know where I wanted to get on this. I got my nerve up, and I told my friend one other truth that's very important. I said, your biggest problem is something you don't recognize as your problem. She goes, what's that? I said, you're a good person. I said, you keep your house nice, you're a hard worker, you're responsible, you're a good friend. I said, you're not a person who's steeped in an awful, sinful lifestyle, who's just desperately feels the need for something new. You're somebody who's a good person, but you don't realize that we all need the Lord Jesus, and your life is incomplete without him. And she stopped and she goes, I know what you're saying. I am a good person. And I know what you're saying. And that's where that conversation ended. I was talking to a man in the church at the gym. He's talking to me about one of his children. He says, one of his children isn't walking with God. And he goes, you know what their problem is? And I said, what? And he goes, they're such a good person. I go, what do you mean? He goes, they're good. They're making good decisions in life. They have a pattern of making good decisions. They are a good person. And they don't recognize that they need a Savior, that they're incomplete. They are putting their reliance upon the fact that they're a good person, and they don't recognize their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we all need the Lord Jesus Christ, not just people that have these super sinful lifestyles. For all of us, our lives are empty without him. You know, it's not like we can be a good enough person that we can take care of the sin within us. And everybody has sin issues that they deal with. Now, some of the sin issues are obvious and glaring. I don't know, have you seen any of those videos of people stampeding at the Walmarts fighting over a cheap TV sets? I don't know about you, but I just shake my head and go, God help us, how did we ever get like this? And I'm also thinking, don't go to Walmart on Black Friday. If you do, may wear a mouth guard or something, I don't know. Avoid the TV section. But there are other people that that the areas of sin they deal with are different. Sometimes people, their sin issues are things that you can't see from the outside. Some people, their sin issues are things that are private things that other people don't know about. But they're there. We all have sin issues that we deal with. And we all need a Savior. And Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them. And isn't that a wonderful thing? The most important thing in the world is not us. The most important thing for the world, in the world for us, is living for Him. And when we live like the most important thing in the world is us, we become very us-centered. We have an empty life, don't we? But when we learn that the most important thing in the world is Him, and we live for Him, and we live to love, now that's a life that's meaningful. And that's a life that can carry you all the way into your senior years to the last breath you take. Because us and our pleasures and our comfort and us having stuff is not the most important thing in the world. It's giving God glory. It's loving and serving the people around us. It's doing the Jesus thing in our day and age that we live in and making a lifestyle out of it. And He died for all, that those should live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them. So what was going on in the stampede at Walmart? You had a whole bunch of people living for themselves and some people living for their families. And it's good to love your family, but you don't live for your family. You live for God. Your family is not God. Your family is not the most important thing in the universe. God is. And you can't put your family in the place where God belongs. You got to put God in that place. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And the truth is that when you put Christ first and you orient your life around that, it is going to bring your whole life into focus. And it's going to change how you look at everything. And that change in how you look at things is an ongoing and developing thing. This is something that I feel very strongly about, and I'm praying that God helps me communicate it clearly with you. And probably a good way to start it is like this. My sister Anne, that I grew up with, just left. Her and her husband visited with me since they came in on Monday night. All right. I'm adopted. My sister isn't. My mom and dad didn't think they could have any children, so they did all the work to adopt a baby. As they're going through the process, my mom gets pregnant. And so I grew up with a sister that's 5 months younger than me. I don't look like anybody in the family. She looks just like my mom and dad. I'm not in any way like anybody in my family. She is a wonderful picture of what my mom and dad are like. It's good. So Ann and I had a childhood together. We had teen years together. We had the early 20s being connected to each other, 30s, 40s, now into our 50s. And I want to tell you that in all those years, we've got plenty of happy memories and pictures, but we also have some baggage. Okay. In my 54 years, there's been a lot of times where my relationship with my sister has not been ideal. And as I was praying about things, I really felt the Lord speak to me early in the week as I was praying. And I kind of felt like the Lord just spoke to me and just kind of said something like this. He says, maybe you need to do some things differently. Because I think for a long time I've had a certain way of relating to my sister. And I've been praying, I was thinking, is my relationship with her everything I want it to be? And I'm like, no. I wish we were closer. I wish I was a better brother to her. So I'm like, well, how's it going to get like that? And I'm like, well, I have normal ways of interacting with her. And you know, if I keep doing things the way I have been doing things, nothing's going to change. If I really want it to be different, then I'm going to have to do different. Maybe instead of calling her once every 2 months, maybe I'm going to have more contact with her. Maybe instead of only talking to her about certain things, maybe I'm going to have to change and open up more of my life to her. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is because I want you to help understand the scripture a little bit better. I think in life, we can get used to doing things a certain way. And I think by God's grace, as God breathes grace into our lives and our relationships and as we grow in Him, we can grow as a person. And I think by His grace, things can be a whole lot better than they've ever been. But I think we have a natural tendency to just go back to the way we've always done things. And I think we need to be open to, in Christ, things can be better. Relationships can be better. They can be deeper. They can be more meaningful than they've been in the past. But maybe it will require us to start doing things differently. In Christ makes new creations. And I think sometimes we just get so used to operating a certain way that we just go right back into our old way. And it's like, maybe in Christ, we need to open up our eyes to see that things could be better. I know there's a sense in which we have a little muscle memory issues when it comes to making change. I like the bowl. And changing habits when you're trying to develop your bowling game is so awful because of something called muscle memory. I could be watching somebody who's working on their bowling, and I could recognize that every time they walk, they get to a certain place and they plant their foot, and they always bring the ball back a certain distance, and then they always release a certain way. And I could say, you know, the problem is that you need to bring it back just a little bit further and carry your release out just a little bit longer. I could talk about it. And they go, okay, I see that. And I could even show them a video of themselves and then show them a video of how it should be. And they're going to get up there and they're going to get that ball. And they're going to go step, 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 and the arm's going to go right back the way it always goes, and it's going to release the way it always releases, and the ball's going to go where it always goes. Because there's this funny thing called muscle memory. We're just used to doing it a certain way. And I want to tell you what, that same phenomena goes on in so many things in our lives. It's so easy for me, like my relationship with my sister Anne. I could do the rest of my life and my relationship be with her the way it's been for the past 10 years. Because I'm used to doing it like that. I'm used to calling her every 2 months, sending her a birthday card and a little gift, a Christmas card and a gift. And that's our relationship. But if I really want things to be better, then it's gonna, I got to be open to the fact that it's going to require some change on my part. I sat down and I had a talk with him and I said, I don't want it to be like this. I feel like we're not very close. And they're like, yeah. They said, I thought that's how you wanted it to be. And I'm like, I don't want it to be like that. But I'm not 100% sure what to do next. But I want to tell you that I would like it to be something more, because I kind of feel like I would like to be a better brother to you. All right, let's keep pushing this a little further. Let's take our dating couples. I know you guys hate the fact that you're sitting right in front of me here, but I mean, is what you got right now when it comes to the spiritual part of your relationship, in your heart of hearts, do you feel like that's just exactly what you want? I mean, because you have a pattern right now. And married couples, too. You got a pattern. And mother and daughters living together. You have a pattern. Now, do you think the Lord would like something more out of those things? I think for many of you, the answer is yes. I know the answer is yes for me and Tammy. He wants us to see things from his point of view. Maybe 2018, the end of it here, is going to be a time where we start doing some things differently than we've ever done them before, and things are going to become newer and more wonderful because we made some adjustments to things. We do not need to be stuck in the mud. The tone around our home does not need to be the way the tone has been. The tone can change. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And I'm going to stretch this. Are you ready? If anyone's if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Therefore, everything about them is going to be wonderful and new, and it's going to have Jesus' fingerprints on everything. And that's how it's supposed to be. Do the people in your life that are around you, do they know that you love them? Do you tell them? Do you treat the people in your family the way that Christ would treat these members of your family? Christ treats us with great patience and tenderness and affection and love. And that's how we should be within our families. We should be with great tenderness, affection, and love, and faithfulness. Look what he reminds us of here. It says, the old is gone, the new has come. Dear God, in a Christian home, we should not be remembering people's failures from the past. Every single one of us, if somehow we could roll the tape back, I'm sure there are plenty of places in the tape that you would not want played. Because there's plenty of times when you had a rotten attitude, or you did stupid things, or you did, well, let's just not repeat it. You know, whatever things go in that category. But that's not where you are. Christ has brought you out of stuff. He's made you someone new. And so those things are just gone. We're not going to bring them up. Guess what? We all made a fool of ourselves sometime in our life. And families are not around. The purpose of families is not just to hold on to those memories and remind us of them. Do you remember way back when you did this? Well, now I do, now that you brought it up. You know, there was 1 year when I think I got 3 speeding tickets in 1 year. I think I was 16 or something like that. It was awful. My I'm 54 years old, and whenever I'm around my mother and I get to go ready to go places, she reminds me that the police are out there and that I can't make up for being behind with the accelerator. I'm like, dear God, Mom, you know when the last time I got a ticket is, Mom? Well, you know, I remember that time. And she goes down and she remembers how much the tickets were. Listen, the old is gone, the new has come. We need to embrace that stuff. All this is from God. He's reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the message of reconciliation. And a reconciler is someone who brings two parties together to bring healing. And the type of reconciler that we are called to do is a reconciler between people and God. And there are a lot of people that are far away from God, and they don't have a good reason. They're far away from God because they got some idea in their head, or they got the way a situation unfolded. And you know what? It's often just by a little listening and kindness and love that you can build those bridges and bring healing. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And you know, the old Satan, he thought he was having victory as Christ hung on the cross. But he didn't understand. As Christ was hanging on the cross, God the Father was accomplishing a mission. He was reaching lost people, many of them that haven't even been born yet. He was reaching them through the death of his Son so that they could be forgiven of their sins, so that they can be brought into relationship with him. People that hadn't even been born yet. And God has given to us this ministry of reconciliation as well. It says, as though God was making his appeal through us. It's nice to be used by God. And he wants to use all of us because we are all his ambassadors. We all work for him. As though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, God made him who had no sin, he's talking about Jesus, to be sin for us. On the cross, all of our sin was placed on Jesus. God the Father did that. All of our sin was placed on Jesus so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. He took upon his shoulders all of our sins, and then all of his righteousness has been given to us. And we get that just by believing and following him. Wow. You know, it hasn't happened yet, but I can just imagine what that home is going to be like, you know, with Jesus in it. Wow. Yeah. My lady friend from the pool. Yeah, they're good people. But I can just imagine what their home would be like with a revival going on. You know what I mean? And God wants to use us. And God wants to change everything about us and make everything wonderful. Everything needs to be like Jesus' fingerprints are all over it. And new creations in every way. Let me pray for you. And then Pastor Scott's going to come up. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us now, because it's so easy for us to come and hear a message and then just to get back into our Sunday routine, to go home and watch a football game or work on some project at the house, and just kind of go right back into our routines of how we always do things. And I know, Lord, that there's a lot of things that we're doing that are ideal. We have practices in our lives that are already good. But, Lord, I know there's probably some things that maybe you would like them to be better than they are. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you wouldn't let us just get away from this to just settle into the way it always is. But I pray, Lord, that whatever you put on our hearts, I pray, Lord, that we would do it. We wouldn't just think about it, but we would make it happen. So please help us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for saving us. And Heavenly Father, lastly, I know you have called on us to be your ambassadors. So Father, we just pray, help us to have great patience and take us where you need us to be. Help us not to just be so preoccupied with our own stuff that we overlook people stuff around us. Use us, Lord. Help us to be faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.